podcast.
Hello, welcome to We Knows Parenting. I'm Beth Newell.
I'm Peter McNerney.
We're back. Still parents.
Oh, not we have not stopped being parents since last week. Our kids are still Maven, 3 years old. Bryn, he is 5 years old. Welcome to the podcast if you're new. That's the backstory. We got it. We're in love. What a happy family we are.
More than anything, we're in love.
We thought about naming the podcast We're in Love.
We had double date nights this week, which is really weird because we usually go about a year between date nights.
Yeah. Well, we're doing both our anniversary and your birthday a bit late.
Mm-hmm. And so we had a nice date night on Friday, and then we went to a hotel last night. We went to the TWA Hotel.
Oh, boy.
Good times. I have to say this. Whenever we have a date night planned, there's part of me that really dreads it. Like, I'm like, ugh, I gotta like get dressed and go out.
I gotta talk to my husband
for
hours.
Talk to this guy. Because I'm just like, but I could be in my bed laying here in sweatpants. But when I'm on the date, I always enjoy it. It's just hard to psych myself up to want to.
Yeah.
I know it's good for me and good for us.
I gotta admit, you know, you need to be in the right mood to do anything. You more than most people. And I've gotten used to today, like, me just springing my presence on you is not what you want. And so date nights, I always find are really great because we've agreed this is what we're here to do. And it might be annoying getting out the door, but once we're there,
it's much nicer talking to you in a setting where I'm having a drink and a nice meal and I know this is what I'm focused on and not like you talking at me while I'm trying to get work done or clean or like
off the cuff
like telling me all these like random school deadlines and things that need to get done that I can't. They don't have the brain power to comprehend in the moment.
You need a long runway to get into the air. And I'm more of a helicopter. You know, I'll take off wherever.
You really will.
I really will. And one place you can take off in a helicopter is the TWA Hotel, where they actually have helicopters from Manhattan straight to the hotel.
Are we going to do the thing where we talk about it like they're sponsoring the podcast, but they're not?
This week, TWA Hotel. It's cool.
TWA Hotel really is like.
So, if people don't know.
A fun experience. Truly the most bizarre mix of people you'll ever see in one location. Because
so, wait. In case you don't know what this is. At JFK, there is the old TWA terminal, which shut down in like 1962. It is this. It has this incredible architecture. It looks like Mad Men. You walk in and you're
They've redesigned it with like a sunken lounge and like made it very 50s, 60s-esque. And it's like, it's fun. It's a fun experience. It's not necessarily where I would want to hang out for multiple days on end.
Sure, no. But it was a great date night hotel.
They have, like for kids, they have like a former airplane, which is like, everything is kind of a cocktail lounge.
For kids?
Well, for kids, you could go up in this airplane that's sitting there.
Yeah, which is a bar.
But it's a bar. So, and the weird thing was when we went in there, people are seated in old, like, airplane seats facing one direction, like having a drink just staring straight at you when you walk in. And I was like, this is very not a nice space to have a drink in.
There's most of the side seating has become like subway sort of benches facing in, so it's not
but a lot of it was just
awkward.
Like actual airplane seats, and I was not feeling it. I immediately like
we had very different reactions to that.
Yeah, we did, because I immediately smelled the smell of being on an airplane and I felt trapped, and I was like, this is never ever a place I would choose to sit and relax.
And I walked in and went, cool.
Yeah.
And I said, where are you going?
Where are you going?
but the whole place is like four bars and cool. And a fancy restaurant.
Yeah, and they have a pool on the roof where you can watch the airplanes take off.
Least relaxing pool on planet Earth.
I mean,
fun, cool experiences.
It would have been more relaxing if there wasn't so many people.
It was a tiny little pool.
Yeah.
10 trillion people.
But I will say this. The thing about New York is that it's so rare that you ever can find anywhere to have a drink outside that you almost don't even care that there's planes taking off right next to you and there's a million people because you're like,
you almost don't care.
The sun is shining on me while I'm drinking. And that is a novelty.
It was a very interesting mix of people.
Yeah.
There were weird, flashy, rich people. Then also just like huge plane nuts.
Well, there's like hipster influencers plane who are nuts. There for the photographs, yeah. Kind of like us. And then there's families with kids. And then there's these guys who really like
planes.
Are like planes, and it's their hobby to watch planes take off and like make notes about it. And I have to say, they must be on the spectrum. There's a lot of these men sitting around alone watching the planes.
Not that they must. There's plenty of plane aficionados.
I think that a larger portion of them are on the spectrum than the average population.
And you bring this up, I think.
The weird thing was like the target demographic of this hotel seems to be gay couples who are a little bit on the spectrum, because there was like a lot of gay guys, like middle-aged gay guys in a couple there
taking notes about planes,
like just like having conversations where you're like, these people are connecting on a different level.
We should take a second to say that we don't mean this as a joke or to offend anybody.
I don't think that's a bad thing. I think, you know, we all know people on the spectrum. It's just
there is tend to be some subset of people on the spectrum really into trains and schedules and planes and lists and like that sort of thing. And we met some of those people on the plane who were very excited to be there. Yeah. But it's also just like such an interesting mix of people in that regard. And then also just these international tourists and little kids.
There was also just like a lot of old people there for like the nostalgia, some of whom literally had like pins on that said they had been pilots for TWA. I don't know if they're getting some kind of discount or what, but it was like actual former TWA pilots from like...
We saw two.
Yeah.
Like, they seemed to be unrelated.
I'm wondering if they ran some kind of promotion for them to get them there. Like, I don't know.
It was great.
It was great. It was really fun.
Especially
experience.
Over that pool, I'm like, this mix of people is so great and specific and peculiar.
Well, it was just interesting to watch them all like mill about together, like these very different subsets of people.
And our kids. This is a parenting podcast. We really just talk about our date nights, but
it's so rare that we do anything together without our kids. So
I mean, date night doesn't really exist until you have kids. I feel like, I mean, of course it does.
We used to go on dates all the time, but just like,
but because
on a whim,
because it could just be whenever.
Yeah,
it's like a date night. We got a new babysitter, who, by the way, I think was a slam dunk.
Well, yeah, we stole a babysitter from our friends.
We didn't steal her. We asked for a recommendation and got one. And
okay,
it worked out perfectly.
But I do feel like we are never like the together parents who like did research and found a babysitter. We're always just like, are you guys doing? Help us. We don't have time to do this.
Well, that's also how we got a babysitter for this wedding we're going to. All my cousins are going, and they all got babysitters and...
And you were like,
they did the research and were like, is anyone they didn't hire? And there was somebody.
Is there anyone they didn't hire? So we got the leftover. I was talking to some of our neighbors outside today who also have boys in Bryn's grade going into kindergarten. And then one of the dads of the older kid was walking by and he was like, you guys got on that portal, the parent portal.
On the parent portal?
And I was like,
school starts on Wednesday, half day.
I definitely am not on the parent portal, and I don't know what's happening. And I was like, I think Peter gets all these things.
Oh, Peter's on the portal.
But somehow I did get my calendar synced to the school town calendar, so I see things on my calendar, and I feel suddenly so much more
involved. I sent that to you for just this reason.
It's really, it's a game changer for me to have some idea of what's going on.
You're an active mom now. I'm school parent.
You're school parent?
I have been, and I'm into it. So Bryn is starting kindergarten on Wednesday. He's done with daycare. In fact, we have one day tomorrow where he has there's no childcare coverage because school hasn't started yet. And daycare is over. And I have an audition, of course. And so I'm taking Bryn with me.
You're very excited about taking him to an audition.
I started to explain to him what an audition was today, and he was not interested.
Well, he heard you say, I'm taking you to work. And then in his mind, he has been so excited about which days he's allowed to watch TV and which days he isn't. So we were coming back from leaving him with my sister while we went to the hotel, and he was like, I don't want to have any more visits with anyone. I need to watch TV. And then
it's getting in the way of my TV time.
And then when you said you're taking him to work, he was like, I can't go to work. That's going to be hours and hours, and I have to watch TV. He was like, he's really...
What are the Wildcrats going to do without me?
He's really planned a lot of Wildcrats viewing. Oh, so this is what we have to talk about. I think we've talked a little bit about Wildcrats last week, and then people on Twitter and people who wrote in were commenting on what we said, and...
Other naturalists.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually not the direction I was going to go in, but we got to talk about that, too. But a couple of people were mentioning that he should watch Zaboomafoo, which is the Kratt Brothers original show, which he had seen before, but now he's really getting into it. And that show has a character who is a lemur puppet who is always jumping around the way lemurs do.
Zaboomafoo.
And so now Bryn is constantly lemuring around the apartment from, like, jumping from furniture to furniture.
Stomping on the ground, annoying the downstairs
just
neighbors.
Nonstop jumping on me all of a sudden out of nowhere. He just leaps at me.
Not just you, but mostly
me.
He's like, let's crack skulls.
He really just flings his head straight towards my knees. And it's
said it as a joke, but I think you might be right that his love language is just throwing himself.
Just wrestling. I think it is because when he was a baby, he would do this thing even from a very young age when he would like be breastfeeding or like be done breastfeeding, but just be laying on my chest, where he would just slam his head into my chest over and over again. His huge, honking McNerney head.
You're welcome.
And he still is the same way. Like, he just wants to slam into me.
Crash into me, baby.
Oh, so people wrote in about the sexy. People had additions to our comments on sexy animal guys on TV.
Yes, off the top of my head, I know one of our regular listeners, Danny, she wrote in to throw in Jeff Corwin as a sexy one of those, who didn't remember who that was, and then I looked him up, and he was like Disney Channel something, and I was like, oh, I've seen that guy.
I'm struggling to picture him, but I think I've got him in my mind, and he's definitely attractive, but he's not my type.
Yeah, that's true. We talked a lot on our date night about our types.
Did we?
We did.
Oh, yeah.
You admitted that your type is
like a dork.
Yeah, not what you would...
Not what I would like to say it my type is, but unfortunately my type is you.
Yeah, just a bald dork.
Wait, I wanted to read a message. So this is what someone on Instagram said
to me. Just going
to
leave bald dork where it is and move on.
Yes, it's my type. Okay, I love bald dorks. Okay,
nice.
So this message on Instagram, someone said to me, I'm so sorry. You two have missed David Attenborough, and I'm highly offended. Sexiest animal media person ever. Just listen to that voice.
Of course. Very good. David Attenborough.
I mean, she's right.
All right, I have to read what Danny wrote me, because if we're going to listener mail early, I guess.
Well, yeah, we're covering all the sexy animal content right now.
Okay, so...
Should I
what
say,
a
wait,
sexy
wait,
episode.
Should I say what you said your type was, though, when we were hanging out? Because
no,
you
no,
said,
no. I'm not comfortable.
You said your type was slightly masculine women.
That's
you're throwing
not
me
true.
In the category of masculine woman.
I had to articulate this in a way that I wasn't satisfied.
You meant to say alpha woman is what you...
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's not masculinity.
You did maybe use the term masculine, though.
I know I said some things, and I was like, that's not correct. That's not specific enough.
You're interested in a hefty woman.
It's not even that, but that's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, I think it's just you. I think I'm just describing
just
you.
Just me.
You know, a hefty masculine... woman.
Yeah.
That's not
a
accurate.
Gorgeous woman like
that's
that.
What I mean. I'm really into gorgeous women. That's sort of my deal.
Stunning.
Funny, smart,
charismatic,
sexy, gorgeous ladies. Yeah, that's my type.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What a sexy episode. I may be late on this because I'm just listening on a Friday, but I need to add that when I was high school age, I had the hots for Jeff Corwin. Your Wild Kratz conversation remind me of that. He may take them in sex appeal. 100% agree with Beth on Steve Irwin, RIP. Is at the bottom end of the barrel. Love the show. Thanks
Rest
for inviting me
here,
Danny. Oh, also Danny wrote in, so last week I said, if anyone wants to do the Midwest Chicagoland area dialect test of to say I have to have them, which somebody did, and we'll get to that later, but she and you couldn't think of a Massachusetts equivalent without swear words. Mm-hmm. So she wrote in, obviously just listening, chiming in. I married a mass hole and now live in Acton, Massachusetts. I think a clean New England accent test would be to pretend to order a large regular at Dunk's. How would you say that with the accent, Beth?
You'd say I had to go get a large regular at Dunk's.
Large regular at Dunk's.
The thing that people who are not from Massachusetts always get wrong about the accent.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this applies to other East Coast accents where the R is being dropped, is that the nature of the accent is a laziness to not pronounce the R's. And instead of just casually dropping the R's, when people try to do an impression of Boston people, they're like, pack the cat, and they're like really overemphasizing and dragging it out, which is the exact opposite of
how
it is.
It's like Italian.
Yeah.
If you and if the word ends with a vowel, next one starts with a vowel, they actually throw a consonant in.
I got an idea.
Yeah. Yeah, or I'll have one. That's always the thing your mom said that blew my mind, that she threw an R. Yeah, or I'll have one. Because it's two vowels connected, you got to throw a consonant to break it up. Anyway.
Just throw in the draw.
Yeah. Yeah, or I'll have one. Boy. And that was our week, babe. Did I start calling you babe?
No.
That was our week, babe.
This next segment is called We Don't Knows, and this one is inspired by a listener email.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I'm only singing so I can find the email, because I didn't have it when you introduced it. Now I'm here. I found it. Hi, Beth and Peter. I've been listening to the podcast for about 6 months, so this may be something you guys have talked about in the past. Smiley face. I'm very curious how you are approaching religion with Bryn and Maven. I'm not sure what your specific beliefs are, but what do you think the best way is to teach your kids about religion? like about what you guys believe and about what other people believe, and maybe you don't agree with it, but don't want to sway them a certain way. Thank you. Love the podcast and love hearing your guys' opinions. Megan. You haven't. Megan, here's a thoughtful question and something we have not discussed.
No, I mean, like most things in our lives, we've just avoided and put this one off for our children. We celebrate Christmas with them and Halloween and other holidays, but
you
we
know,
don't
that great religious holiday.
We don't
Halloween.
Really go into the logic behind. Like, they know there's presents. They know it's fun. Like they, but they don't. We are.
Bryn doesn't know who Jesus is.
No,
I don't think
for sure not.
So there's a lot of parts here, and we haven't a lot of this we have not discussed, but I think we understand each other.
I think it's important to be honest with your kids about what you believe.
Uh-huh.
And that's, I have sort of gotten into that with them, but like only when sort of death comes up or something like that. But I don't, they're not really old enough to get into it on a deeper level. But I feel like when they are, I would sort of be like, well, here's what I believe, and other people believe this, and there's a lot of different religions. You know, like,
yeah.
I don't ever want them to feel like I'm going to be, like, mad at them for believing in a different thing than me.
I mean, yes. We're totally on the same page about this. And, they're obviously, they're 3 and 5. So if you tell them this is what's true, that's their truth now. And I am of the mind that, well, you know, we don't know. Nobody knows.
Well, you know
why.
You know what's interesting is, like, I think some people in my mom group or just on the internet at large, I've heard moms expressing concern for, like, we don't want to teach our kid about Santa Claus or tell our kids Santa Claus is real, because then when the veil gets pulled off and they realize that's not true, then they're not going to believe in this other stuff we're telling them. But for me, I actually kind of like that of, like, there's these pretend things you get to believe in when you're a kid, like unicorns or whatever. And then at a certain age, you're like, realize that's not real. And I think learning to question the information people are giving you is a good thing.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that at all. Kids are not stupid.
Like, but I think there's a lot of, like, people are worried about being, like, hypocritical with their kids about that.
Well,
sort of, you know,
get
what I
over
mean?
It. They'll be fine. I thought Santa was real, and then I realized he wasn't real, and then I still get presents. And you know what? Didn't crush me.
I think, like, out of all the things from my childhood that, like, maybe affect my mental health on a day-to-day level, believing in Santa is not one of them.
No. You keep it light. Keep it fun. I can imagine there's some parents out there that are, like, that just push too hard on the Santa is real. It's a thing, and you have to care about it.
I
can see that be traumatizing, but we treat it like it's the same way we treat movies and stories that we love. It's a fun thing.
I do think that, like, as they get older, it's something that we're gonna have to be more careful of in terms of, like, this idea. Like, I do think we're gonna have to let up a little bit about how Santa works and, like, this idea that he visits every kid, because they're going to have, like, obviously know other kids who are not Christian or, like, having Christmas. And we do need to start to explain that this is just a tradition, you know?
Yeah. I'm waiting for them to care about it, because my relationship with it is... You know,
you're obsessively in love with Christmas.
Well, Christmas, yes. Christmas is fucking awesome. It's because of family and structure and its presents and the... it's like... Okay, so here's what's been... Something that we've started recently, that I started, is movie night. We do no TV on school days now. They can watch TV on the weekends and they go crazy. But I've decided every other Wednesday is movie night. And
You love rules and you love tradition.
But I'm so happy about how this played out, which is I go, Bryn, tonight's something very special. We're doing movie night. And what that means is that Daddy's going to give you the option of 3 movies, not TV shows, nothing short, full length film. You get to pick one.
Feature film.
A feature film. You get to pick one, and when I press play, that's that. It's going to play to the beginning, to the end. If you want to stop, we're not going to watch anything else. That's it. And he was, and it's, and so we picked one, and we sat down and watched a full movie without walking away, and we all watched it together, and it suddenly took me back to my own childhood, where when something was on, you focused on it because you can't start it up later. You know, it's going to be on when it's on. And so we did one together last week where we picked a movie, we all watched it together, and it's that type of, it's special because we did it, we built it up, it's a specific moment, we're all focused on this one thing together, and that's why I love Christmas. Where it's all built up, we have a lot of rules, and then we all sit together and we focus on one thing as a family and we spend time together, and I love it and it's exciting.
Well,
it has nothing to do with religion for me. And that's fine. It's about my family.
Movie night has nothing to do with religion for you?
I don't care what the origin of it is. That's not why I'm doing it. Okay. I respect people.
I think what's great about Christmas is it's a holiday we stole from pagans.
So is everything.
As are most of our holidays. And the original pagan tradition, like having Halloween and Thanksgiving, like having fall holidays that sort of are just celebratory of the season is great. And Christmas is kind of the same way, where it's like we're celebrating that it's like very dark and we have to make some light and fun, you know? Like, that's what's happening.
Sure. I was raised Presbyterian. And we went to church every weekend, and I was confirmed, and that was all fine, and it was very open, pretty loose, liberal version of Christianity. And my parents just said, you have to go until you get confirmed, and then you can do whatever you want. And I said, okay. And I got confirmed, and I said, I'm never going again. Thanks. Bye.
Where are you going with this?
I really like my mom's.
You miss church now?
No, I do not. I understand people love church. That's fine. I'm not telling anyone they shouldn't do anything. But my mom's point of view was I always connected with the most, which was, you know, ask big questions about death and all that, and she would just go, you know, we don't know. Let's watch a sunset. And I was like, great. Let's move on so we can enjoy Christmas.
At my church, we had the same ministers for a very long time. And then when it came time for my confirmation, they had like moved the minister as they do. And we had an interim minister who was this old, like sort of, I don't know, I want to say hippie-ish guy named Dudney Breeze.
Dudney Breeze?
Yeah, that's like, that name kind of sums up his vibe. And he was like so casual. And when he was doing confirmation and we talk about like the 7 days of God creating the world, like he would be like, yeah, I mean, I think it's perfectly fine to view everything in the Bible as just like a metaphor for interpretation. And I was like, wow. This is so refreshing to hear at church. Like,
yeah. I remember one of these moments in confirmation with like the main guy, minister, reverend, well, I don't really know what it was. I went to church for 14 years. And he came to like the youth group to like ask questions. And I think people put questions in the bucket. And their questions like, you know, are Jewish people going to hell? You know, and it's like to get into the technical questions that, you know, kids who are smart.
Oh, man.
Get into, hey, this doesn't make any sense when you break down the logic of it. You know, and that's when you get it. And it's one of those moments where somebody asks that question. They say, are Jews going to hell? Like, for example, it wasn't just Jews. It was people who aren't Christian. Mm-hmm. And this guy, he goes, you know, I believe that God has a different plan for people of different faiths. And I remember, and it was a positive spin, like, no, they're not going to hell. There's a different plan, different religions. And I was like, oh, he's saying other religions are okay. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then my next thought was, oh, all of this is bullshit.
Well, the funny thing about, like, the religions that are most demonized in Christian society are the actually the religions that share the most with our religion. Like, Judaism is the beginning of Christianity. I mean, like, it's just half of our religion. And then Muslims also believe in Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
as it's just these are...
I mean, do we want to get into this?
Anyway, no, we don't.
Oh, my gosh. Christianity. But just... If you
oh yeah, it's just like give it a rest, Christians.
No, I just read a really great book. It's just who are the Gospels written for, and when were they written, and by whom? And it becomes very, very clear that all the Jews were demonized. Jesus Christ claimed to be the Son of God. He didn't want to save everybody. He wanted to kick the Romans out of Jerusalem and didn't give a fuck about the rest of the world. Sorry, write in. Why don't you?
Also, if we're getting into it, historically, Mary Magdalene was more likely Jesus' wife who was preaching with him in tandem, and then they changed her story to keep the Bible very patriarchal.
To bring it back to kids. I'm not going to... When they talk about it, they talk about it. I'm going to tell them what I think, and I am in no way going to tell them what they should think, because we think different things about spirituality and death and all that. And it's very important to me that we don't present things to them saying, I'm right, your mother's wrong, vice versa. Just going, hey, here's what makes sense to me, here's what makes sense to your mom.
The thing is that I think both of us in our own way, our beliefs are based in our experience, like in like a tactile, evidential way.
Yeah, that's true.
And I choose to believe that my experiences are happening a certain way and I'm having certain experiences, and you choose to believe that you're not.
Yep.
I'm not choosing
that I'm not having experiences a certain way. I'm having experiences my way, but I get your point.
But I think you're not necessarily open to the idea of having experiences in a certain way.
If you
were to go to a meditation class and meditate, like that, you're making a choice to experience the world in that way and be receptive to certain things. Like you are choosing not to be open to certain ideas.
That might be true, but it's because I'm happy and I don't feel that I'm missing anything, because what I care about is right here, and it's tangible and it's in front of me, and it's you and it's my kids and it's my community. And anytime I stretch outside of that, I get tangled up in technical things and it doesn't illuminate things for me. And I'm happy with what is in front of me, and I don't need anything else. But
okay. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
I think we both would want our children to trust their own experiences and perceptions of the world.
Yes. And we've had our disagreements about this and fights even, which I think have been good preparation for being open to our kids about things that we don't believe, you know, directly. It's important for me that I show them that you believing something different than me is not only fine, it's great, you know, and that there's endless other people out there that believe different things. And that's also great. So long as people aren't going around saying other people are stupid and this is bad and you're evil because you believe what you believe.
Yeah, I think we definitely want them. I mean, at the age they're at in the coming years, we'll probably be more focused on like other people to believe different things. People can believe whatever they want. And then as they get older, I would imagine that we're sort of like getting to the nitty gritty of like why we do strongly disagree with certain things that are attempting to control other people's behavior.
Yeah. You know, actually, this came up recently. So my sister-in-law is Muslim. She's from Bosnia, and she celebrates holidays that we don't. And she was just celebrating Eid al-Adha. Eid al-Adha. See, I had to really look it up and see what it is. And then I explained it to Bryn and Maven so we could send her a video to, like, you know, say, happy Eid al-Adha. And I know I'm not pronouncing that great. And then they're like, what's that? And I'm like, you know what? I'm just learning about it, but here's what's up. And then I that's the first time I started to get into religion with them. And that the, like, I was raised Christian. And I started to. They didn't care, so I dropped.
It's really hard to explain to them the idea of church because we almost never bring them to one unless it's, like, a funeral. And then they're sort of, when they're at funerals, we're just giving them lollipops, and that's all they're thinking about.
So they love church.
Yeah. They're just like, this is a place where we're told to be quiet while we eat lollipops and people give long speeches.
And we mess up our nice pressed shirts.
We always get our children's shirts pressed before a funeral.
But I look forward to talking about it with them. But we're in no rush.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm sure no one here has any opinions about any of this.
Here in the room, you mean the spirit people?
Yeah, I'm talking about the spirit people in the room, of course. But yeah, if you write in, if you've had, if you have stories or struggles or discoveries or cool things, blah, blah, blah. This is obviously a very, very broad topic. But it's something we have not talked about a ton, you know, for reasons we just described. It's not something that we talk about day to day. But we're happy to have you part of the conversation. Anything else to add, Beth?
No.
Okay. Well, let's say goodbye-bye to the segment. Bye-bye. That was weird. I'm sorry.
This next segment is Would You Knows? It's where we share parenting hypotheticals and attempt to say what we would do.
We would attempt to say what we would do. So our very own Nick Canales, my best friend, my comedy partner, come see us in Trike most Saturdays at 9 o'clock at the Magna Theater. He went to the aquarium with our kids. They were with their Aunt Allie while we were at the TWA hotel.
Their Aunt Allie.
And Allie took them to the aquarium, and Nick showed up with his incredibly funny two-year-old. Is she two yet?
Her birthday is in September.
Let's say that she's two. Very funny daughter, and they all love each other. And so they went to the aquarium. And so Nick wrote in with some Would You Knows inspired by the aquarium. He wrote three. And I'm going to read just one. Maybe we'll do some of the other ones later. Nick wrote this. Beth, you're at the aquarium. While looking at sharks, Maven sadly says, and that's how mommy and daddy are going to die from the sharks. At first you think it's odd, but kind of whatever, because kids say stuff. But then she keeps adding on more and more cryptic details about how it will be a day when you're all at the beach in shallow water and that the lifeguard said it would be safe, but it isn't. About how everyone on shore will scream, etc., etc. Would you still go swimming in oceans after that? Or would you be, quote unquote, fraidy cats? Would you go diving or would you be nervous?
I mean, I've talked at length about my love of the ocean. I don't think you can keep me out.
But you also...
I also do believe children have premonitions. I was just...
you'd be really torn on this one.
I know. So they've rebooted the TV show Psychic Kids.
Wait. There was a show called Psychic Kids?
There was a show like 9 or 10 years ago called Psychic Kids. And they would take... It's like... The funny thing about the show is it's not really ethical in terms of what I think most people who call themselves psychics would tell you how to deal with children who are psychic, because they would just like throw these kids into like haunted houses and stuff. Anyway, they rebooted the show where now some of the kids from the original show are like mentoring new kids who are psychic. And they are doing it in a much better way where it feels a lot less sensational and a lot less like trying to scare the shit out of these kids. And anyway, one of the episodes I started watching today was like this girl who had multiple premonitions about like people in her family dying and bad things happening. And her parents were like, yeah, I mean, now if she tells us not to go outside or something, we like really have to listen. Like we
this
get really nervous.
This does not sound healthy to me.
Well, you know, Peter, we all have our own struggles and sometimes you're psychic and you have to learn how to cope with it.
On national television. So
you are so incensed by the idea.
It's the TV part and kids that like it, adults. Great, fine. I don't care. No, but there's something about it that I'm like, this feels manipulative and it makes me
uncomfortable. No, it's. I understand that the first iteration of the show is somewhat manipulative, but the end goal is to get these kids to learn how to process all this crazy sensory stimuli they're experiencing all the time and make sense of it and learn how to turn it off and learn to control it so they're not just scared shitless when they go in their basement every day. You know, like the parents on the show are very grateful that their kid is like getting a sense of control over this experience.
So do you think television is an appropriate place to deal with something that seems really important and like possibly traumatic for a child?
Sometimes, yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I'm skeptical of the TV part.
A lot of these kids live in parts of the country where it's not like...
This operation is not yet supported.
Siri, we're not talking to you.
It's a sign. Okay, a lot of these kids live in parts of the country where it's not like you can just go to your local like metaphysical store and talk to someone who does tarot readings and try to like figure out a community of people who understand what's happening with you. These are parents who are like... What the hell is happening to our kid? We don't know anything about this.
We gotta go on TV.
Oh my God. They're just trying to help their kids.
Okay, I won't. I didn't see it, so I'm being unnecessarily judgmental, but.
It's scary. It's literally that movie, The Sixth Sense. These kids are literally like seeing dead people all the time. It's hard for them to experience. Their parents are trying to help them.
Okay, so if Maven was doing this about us,
mm-hmm.
and you believed it as much as you do these kids you're talking about.
Well, it's like, I need context. I don't know if I would believe it.
Well,
one of the cool things
what
about
would make you believe it?
The first episode of the show, one of the cool things is like, this kid is really scared because this man is like appearing, like he's seeing a silhouette of a man in his room. And then this other older psychic comes in and starts talking to him, and they sort of start to figure out that the man is just his grandfather, like watching over him. It's his dead grandfather, and he's like so much calmer. And so, if Maven was doing this, I mean, I would not believe this, and probably unless there had been events leading up to this where Maven had sort of demonstrated some sort of ability.
Why isn't it this though? How could it be this?
I don't think it just like it. Lightning doesn't strike once like that. It's not. It's like.
What if it's the beginning? So, what if this was the first thing, and you're like, whatever, and then other things started happening? Would you go back and be like, fuck, she's right. Now I can't go in the ocean ever.
I mean, the thing, Peter, we have a soul plan. If I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die. Like I can't. I can't control.
Well, then what's
everything?
What's the point of looking ahead? If it doesn't matter, that's not a snarky question, that's a real one.
But this is like one of the misconceptions about psychics is like people think that you go to them and that they're going to be like, you're going to die on this day and you're going to get married and have three kids and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes they do give you some information along those lines, not necessarily when you're going to die, but what they're usually actually doing is passing on messages from deceased loved ones and like giving you a sense of connection and validation that there's like a purpose in this world. And they're also helping you navigate difficult situations in your life, in your work or romance or whatever, in a way that's like they're not like telling you you're going to meet the man of your dreams in 6 months necessarily. They're like, your issue with people is that you keep doing this pattern, and until you address that, you're not going to have these relationships are not going to work out. Like, it's more like that. I think when you go to a good psychic or medium, it's more like a life coach than it is like just this magical person giving you all the answers.
It sounds like therapy.
Yeah. It's like more concise therapy.
More concise?
You don't have to go in there and like give all this backstory to help someone tease out what is going on. They, you walk in and they're like, okay, your dead brother's here. Here's what's up. You don't have to give them any information.
So here, I mean, because in my mind, and this is because I'm coming from a skeptical place and I'm not totally on board with this. The thing that makes sense to me in this is this, like, you know, it seems like it's for you, you know, you're in this place where you're comfortable and you're open. And so it's giving you a platform and a person to put it all out there and put the pieces back together for yourself more so than you would, than it's that person actually telling you something about yourself you don't know.
Yeah, it's like they're telling you things that you didn't necessarily know, but then when they say it, it's like a light bulb going off where you're like, yes, that's like so true. Like, what the psychic who I have gone to over the years, who I've since sort of become friends with, first of all, I think I've talked about this before, but like the first time I met her, she channeled my brother in a way that was very sarcastic and believable to me, and not the way someone would pretend to channel a deceased loved one. Second of all, the first time I was there and I was feeling incredibly lost about my career after college and having been an illustration major and everything, she said to me, "You're a writer." And when she said that, I was like, wow, that's like weird that you'd say that, but it also feels very true and correct. And it put together the pieces for me of like, yeah, this makes sense why I've been pursuing comedy, but like I don't want to be an actor and I don't really know where I fit in here.
Okay. That's I mean, I know you, and I know like how beneficial this has been to you.
What I love about this one psychic who is the one I would predominantly go to, like maybe once a year or something. What I like about her is it feels very like tough love. Like it feels very honest, and like she's not like making me feel better by just saying what I want to hear. She's like, this is not going to work for you unless you do things differently. Like,
So you're going in the ocean regardless of what Maven tells you.
I don't think we can control when we die. I mean, we could commit suicide and that would invalidate our life contract,
but if Maven convinced you a shark is going to eat you, you wouldn't even try to just stay away from sharks?
If she said it like the day of while we're at the beach, I would be like, okay, this is like a warning that I meant to heed. But if she says it, I'm not just going to like never go in the ocean again for the rest of my life.
This is a good would you know for you. I think nothing's keeping you away from the ocean.
The ocean is very healing for me.
It's true. I learned that when you went to Minnesota and were really insulting about it. And you really hurt my feelings. It's because you just didn't know where the ocean was and it made you uncomfortable.
I didn't know. As an East Coast person, we go places and we joke around and make fun of things. I didn't really know that you would take it so personally.
No. It's just that it seemed to be no joke about it. You were just like, I hate this. I don't remember what it was, but I felt bad.
No, I was joking. I was like, because I was like, land of 1,000 lakes, that's a pond. Like, because you would be like, see all these lakes? And I'd be like, no, that's literally just
and
a
I
little
go,
pond.
First of all, it's 10,000 lakes. More like 15 if we're being realistic. And we're not counting that.
Yes,
that's
you
a
are.
Pond.
Yeah, you.
There's 10,000 lakes at least.
You would point to things and be like, "See, that's a lake," and it would be a little pond, and that's how I knew the numbers are right.
I can't defend. I don't remember what lake I was pointing at. Lake Harriet? That's a lake.
Okay. Anyway, I don't like living far away from the ocean. It makes me uncomfortable, and I just don't like it.
That's fine. That's fine. I love you.
I love you.
Before we go, we're going to do one last quick little listeners want to knows. This is where we take some mail from the mailbag. We have a voicemail that we're going to listen to. Let's go for it.
Hey, Peter. This is Kate from Atlanta. I've spent the last 20-some years of my life living in the South, but my family's originally from Minnesota, and I just had to try and see if I can pass your Midwestern test. So here it is. Ma, I have to have them. I hope I passed your test. Bye.
Did she pass?
It's pretty good. Did I present it as a Midwest test?
I believe so.
The dialect is not just Midwest. It's more specifically exactly where I grew up. Northern suburbs, Chicago. I'd give it a 90%. Yeah, that extra, you know what I got to pull? I got to pull the track of my brother saying, I have to have it. It's
pull
a
the
heft. I tried to spell it. Last week, the episode was called I Have to Have
yeah,
It.
Yeah, I'm glad we're drawing this out, this I think dialect conversation that has nothing to do with parenting.
H-E-E-Y-H-E-E-Y-H-E-E-Y-H-E-A-V-F, have to T-A, he have to have them. He have to have them. But that was great. That was great. I'm done. This has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. If you'd like to call in to take the Midwest test, or if a regular, what is it? Regular at Dunks? A lodge, lodge regular at Dunks.
That's not how the accent goes.
I know. Do it better than me. You can do so. With our voicemail number. What is it, Beth?
Leave us a voicemail at 347-384-7396. Or you can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com.
Find us on the Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at weknowspod. And oh boy, oh boy. We'll see you next week, friendos.
Bye. Bye.